Elizabeth Border is our guest. As we conclude with her, I want to make sure you have the ability to purchase her books. And give us a review quickly, Elizabeth, about these books.
Thank you, Chris. They can purchase the books by writing a check to PFI, P as in Paul, F as in Frank, I as in Integrity, mailing it off to P.O. Box 181, Kutztown, K-U-T-Z-T-O-W-N, Pennsylvania, 19530. Again, that's P.O. Box 181, Kutztown, Pennsylvania, 19530. And the books, the set of books, covers all kinds of areas that are being merged under the UN, under the New World Order. It covers the political happenings after September 11th. It covers the police state. It has a lot of the parts of the Patriot Act in it. It has the State Department's call for disarmament of the world. It has part of that document. It has just so much that's helpful, and it has a lot from Dr. Michael Kaufman and others' works on sustainable development and the biodiversity treaty. So I hope that people will buy the books. We did not publish them to make money. It cost us over $12,000 to get the books put out and to pay the family to help sell them. So I do hope they will buy them for the help of their families. And getting back to the chemtrails, very quickly, I see here I have a little information that came from the Idaho Observer, and the first part talks about the U.S. Navy's RFMP, the Radio Frequency Mission Planner Military Program, and that allowed the computer operator to develop familiarity with the radio frequency environment before a battlefield war mission. And this system, the supporting sub-programs, is called the VTRPE computer program. Now, in a nutshell, Chris, what this did, this used ducting over land to operate accurately. And they had a problem. They had to solve this ducting problem by releasing an aerosol, a mixture of, guess what, barium salt into the atmosphere over America. The chemical and electrical characteristics of the mixture will cause water moisture to stay in clouds. Now, again, here we see this is probably the way they're drying up the moisture, creating drought over certain areas, because food control is one of their ultimate goals, too, I think.
Oh, boy. Good point.
There's a lot. Then the other one, I wanted to make sure I got a little bit of this, Amy Worthington's article in April 2001 out of the Idaho Observer. This is what she said. Hapless populations sprayed continually with these substances, and that's aluminum and barium, are bound to exhibit symptoms of neurological damage and chronic illness. The toxic effects of barium are confirmed by a 1992 Department of Health and Human Services publication. It states that barium can cause breathing difficulties, increased blood pressure, changes in heart rhythm, stomach irritation, muscle weakness, swelling of the brain, as well as damage to the liver, kidney, heart, and spleen. Barium was reportedly used by the U.S. as a weapon in the Gulf War to make the enemy weak and ill.
Huh.
So now you see who we're equated with? U.S. citizens are now equated with that populace that was over there in Iraq in Gulf War I.
There you have it. Let's see what a few callers have to say. I'm going to bring William up with you, Elizabeth, and we'll take the callers, and we'll bring William up as well and continue if you have time. Do you have time?
I have a little time yet.
Okay, let's take a few more minutes and field these phone calls upon our return from the commercial interruption. Stay with us. Put me back up. I can't hear. Oh. Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. Let's see what Brett in Kansas has to say. Hello, Brett. How are you today? Hello, Brett. Brett, are you there?
Sir.
Hi, how are you today?
Oh, I'm not too bad. Are you there, Chris?
I'm fine, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I was going through your website, AmericanExpose.com, and I noticed you had a ton of information about Mikhail Gorbachev on there. And I just wanted to know what your take on his role in the New World Order is.
He has a major role to play in the New World Order. He's Greenpeace, Green Cross International, and he's using Agenda 21 for his purposes. He was on the BRAC Commission when it was originally set up in the early 90s, I believe. He was overseeing the closure of our military bases. But Mikhail Gorbachev is a major player in the whole system. It's apparent that certain individuals have disclosed to me that there's Gorbachev foundations being set up around the world. So Mikhail Gorbachev cannot be ruled out as a major player in the New World Order today.
Now, on Friday, I'm going to actually have a chance to question him. He's coming to my university. I was going to, you know, confront him about this anti-constitutional behavior that you just described. And it seems like that, you know, these organizations, Green Cross, Green Shield, Gorbachev Foundation, are actually stealing Americans' land unconstitutionally. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you go to Green Cross International, you'll see how they're doing their move for Agenda 21. And you want to question him about Agenda 21 and ask him, the simple thing to ask him is, what do you know about Agenda 21? And what is the benefits of Agenda 21 for the entire world, as every country has an Agenda 21 today? That would be the first question I would ask Mikhail Gorbachev, and you'll probably not get an opportunity to ask another question after you ask him that one.
Chris, sure. Could I add something to that?
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
I just browsed into my book, and I see that in my environmental chapter I have, by 1991, the world, perhaps erroneously, gave a sigh of relief that communism was gone forever in Russia after ex-communist Mikhail Gorbachev had moved away from the country of shortage in 1995. He convened a special State of the World Forum. According to attendee journalist Samantha Smith, Gorbachev stated, quote, "The environmental crisis is the cornerstone for the New World Order," end of quote.
And that is very, very important. And have you visited our quote section, Brett?
Yes, I have. And Gorbachev, he's never renounced communism as far as I know.
That's right. There's a statement in there that he claims to be a devout communist and never will change from that direction.
Right.
And that's in our quote section. So you have a lot of ammunition to take with you at this speech that he's going to give. So,
absolutely, and I'll be getting it on video and hopefully be putting it up on my website, too.
What is your website, Brett?
My website is fateofnations.com, and in case anybody wants to check that out further, I've also got a radio show on the Revere Radio Network. ReveReRadioNetwork.com is that website. So if people are curious, be checking those out, too.
Very, very good.
All right, thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you, Brett. We have William Roberts with us. William, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, good afternoon, Chris and Elizabeth. Nice to be on air with you both today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being with us. We have a few callers here, and I thought we should entertain them as Jeff is with us. Hello, Jeff. How are you today?
How's it going?
Good.
Yes. Now, as far as what's going on with our troops and everything like that, there's a book out called Kiss the Boys Goodbye.
Oh, boy.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Is America going to be like the 1960s where instead of Vietnam era troops coming back and getting spat upon, do you think there will be a time, Elizabeth, when Iraqi era troops will come home and the pinkos in the street will spit on them and call them all kinds of vile names? Because of what's going on in the news. And by the way, Al Cupp.
I hope not.
And by the way, Al Cupp is one of my heroes, too. So I read his book, America Sold Out. Very good book.
Yes, it is. The same family that sells my book sells that book also. And I think that book is very crucial for people to have, especially Christians, because it does detail some very awful plans that the Satanists have for Christians if the New World Order comes in completely. And I think it's very, very crucial that they find out about some information perhaps pertaining to concentration camps and other things. Don't you, Jeff?
Oh, yes. And one of the strong points of the Al Kuppert book is the fact that Al Kuppert talks about Jewish people, you know, sharing the same fate as born-again Christians in these camps, which really strikes the parallel between America and Nazi Germany, because I went to the Holocaust Museum 2 times, and it was a very shocking place to go to.
Yes, Jeff, I want to bring up my book again, because I have a big chapter in book one that compares the demonization of those Jews in pre-Nazi Germany to what's happening right now to Christians here in the media and in other places. And one example that I gave was from Newsweek, in which Lorraine Alley was writing about the rockers down in the mosh pit and so forth. And you know how kids are, teenagers
yeah.
really get into all that stuff. But what she did as a writer, what Newsweek did rather, was to contrast how oddball the Christians were there, that they were stiffer than the normal teenagers, and they didn't know how to do this. And I thought, even there, you see this beginning to vilify them. And another thing that I think is very important, many people don't know that there's a very deep theological reason for this hatred of both the Jews and the Christians. And this appears to be satanic. If you go back into the writings of Madame Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, all of that coming up through Lucifer Trust, all of that theosophy, they clearly said, and they got information channeled. Some of them were channeling from the Tibetan. So their information was that two groups of people would have to be destroyed when the New World Order paradigm gets into being, because these were not progressive enough, and you can guess which they were. They were Christians who believed in the Bible and Jews who believed in their Bible. So I think that the longer we go, the more everything stays the same.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. And simple closure, Adolf Hitler killed off the World War I soldiers that were paralyzed and disabled because they didn't fit into the new order. So what can I say? History always repeats itself.
And, Jeff, do we want a country that has no humanity left, that has nothing but evil, reprobate mind? I mean, when it comes to that point, I choose the way of my late father, and some people may have heard me tell this, but it was true. My father was a rural mail carrier, and he was asked by a World War I veteran who had lost a leg to give him a ride. And my father knew that his little federal job could be ended if he gave a passenger a ride. But of course he said yes, because he followed God's law. And, Jeff, he was reported. But my father did not lose his job. He went on for 40 years because he was under protection. And I think that's what we have to remember. We might be a small group of people listening to RBN and other networks like this that tell the truth, but we are a group that has God behind us if we're sincere. So we have some protection if it's his will and plan, and we must never stop opposing these hideous things. What you're saying there, now just think of the morality of that, to destroy the handicapped veterans who had given their service to the country. That brings it right back to what you asked me, will these present Iraq veterans be spat upon? I hope and pray they won't be, Jeff.
And I hope not either, and the saddest closure in Nazi Germany was the apostate Lutheran Church, as Jewish people were going to the camps, and the preacher told them, sing a little louder. And when the people came out of the church, they wiped the dust off their car, didn't make waves, had a full belly, and were completely satisfied. And that's a sad commentary. Guys, do have a very nice day, and thank you for the time.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate your call. Let's see here. We have John in New York. Let's take John in New York real briefly. Hello, John.
How you doing? Thanks for taking me. I'm just looking at a nuke alert put out by the, I'm sorry, I can't tell you right at the moment. Anyhow, just on the listing of it, they got the 518,000 Gulf War veterans are under disability when only 7,039 were injured in battle. And 67 of the post-war Missouri Gulf War vet babies are being born severe birth defects from the DU. That's 67% of our children, which is, you know, you talk about a gulag. That gulag is right at home on our backs, in our soul. It also states that 50% and 65% of the fish catch in the Pacific and North Atlantic are down that far. We're just killing this country or killing this world by letting it happen. And again, it's just like as you state, we've got to act. There's no more just being passive and being looking back, and we have to take action. We have to make truth be truth.
Absolutely. And as we go to commercial pause, we'll...
If you can also repeat Elizabeth's last name again so I can mail it.
Border.
Border.
Border, B-O-R-D-E-R.
That is right.
Thank you very much.
And let's have a little conversation after, as the commercial pause happens with Elizabeth, and see where we're going to go with Robert and William. Stay with us. Okay, listeners, as we close it out with Elizabeth, I just want to make sure the listeners have the information that they need to purchase your books. How many books are these that they're going to be purchasing, Elizabeth?
And they have a wealth of information on the chemtrails and all the other things I've been mentioning. And to get them again, Chris, the set of books, Patriots Warning 1, America Attack, Patriots Warning 2, Chaos and Chemtrails, you just write a check to... P-F-I, P as in Paul, F as in Frank, I as in Integrity, for $27, or you could send a money order, and you mail that off to P.O. Box 181. That's P.O. Box 181, Kutztown, and that's spelled K-U-T-Z-T-O-W-N, Pennsylvania. That's Kutztown, Pennsylvania. The zip code is 19530. Again, that's Kutztown, Pennsylvania. P.O. Box 181-19530.
Wonderful, Elizabeth. I certainly appreciate your presence today, and I hope
it was an honor to be with you, Chris.
Well, thank you very, very much, and we'll look forward to an association in the future.
Thank you again.
Wonderful. Thank you. Bye-bye now. William Roberts is with us. We're sort of celebrating UN week, I suppose, and we have a couple of callers, William, we'll take John on the other side of the commercial pause. Here we are, William, with this UN celebration of the 60th anniversary. And, you know, it kind of just sailed right over the American population. They didn't even realize, most of them, that it was the 60th anniversary of the UN. Isn't that amazing, John, or William?
It is. It is, Chris. And I don't know whether we could say that it would be a celebration, but it's more like, in my mind, like a wake or a remembrance that this process has been going on in deception for 60 years, and as a result of the very carefully controlled exposés through the media and through various sources and through the incredible promotion and self-promotion that the UN does, that most people will look at the UN as a world savior or as a good thing, the helper of the underdog, the leveler of the playing field. But the leveler of the playing field in this concept of equality is part of the deception that we're basically going to be seeing more and more of. And as the process of the vilification through intentional, erroneous, and felonious behavior of the Bush administration, this whole concept is also, in my opinion, part of the script to bring down the idea of a sovereign nation as we merge into this free trade area of the Americas, as more and more people are calling for tribunals and impeachments, and certainly they would be applicable where there are crimes that could, we could commit on, and the complicity that the administration would have in there and in the various crimes that have been committed in the last 5 years. But as this vilification process continues, more and more people will be looking out of our nation and out for outside assistance from the United Nations, World Court, etc. And I believe that it's all part of the agenda to eliminate our federal form of government, bring us down into nation states, so to speak, on the same level as Bolivia or Paraguay or Togo.
Well stated, and I see here once again, very amazing, we don't want to leave him out, dated September 16th. An initiative led by former President Clinton to tackle poverty, climate change, and other worldwide issues is launching with a gathering of political leaders and activists who are promising to pitch in and must put those pledges in writing. Participants who fall short can't come back next year, said Jay Carson, spokesman for the Clinton Global Initiative. Among the 800 expected at the Manhattan Hotel for the three-day event starting Thursday are British Prime Minister Tony Blair, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan, and Clinton himself. Bill Clinton is not going away, William.
No, he's not. And again, this is another one of those opportunities where we have representatives of nations who are getting together and they're making these signed pledges, these little personal treaties that have not been sanctioned or approved by from our nation, from Congress, and I really doubt that the House of Commons, the Lords, have approved any sidebar treaties that might be coming down to affect them. And who is Bill Clinton? You know, what is his role today? Why is he the head shed of these kinds of conferences? It's a mystery to me. As a past president with a checkered past, why are we making salutary advances for his career?
He's got to be a Rockefeller. That's all there is to it.
I would think so.
Yeah, that's all there is to it. He's got to be a Rockefeller. There's no doubt about it. He's in charge of Katrina relief. He and Bush are in charge of Katrina relief, apparently, and he's in charge of tsunami relief. This is William Jefferson Clinton, a Rhodes Scholar, someone that was educated in the Sovietization of America at a young age, in my opinion anyway. We'll be back with William Roberts and John in Minnesota, Larry and John in Florida as well. Stay with us. We'll continue on the other side.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the broadcast. My co-host is William Roberts. Let's go and see what John in Minnesota has to say. Hello, John.
Well, greetings, Chris.
Wonderful to hear your voice.
Celebrating the United Nations.
Oof. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, people have to remember that the very group that writes about 95% of the legislation that is passed by the Senate and the House in Washington, D.C., are the very same people that founded the UN. So, the lady spoke of the Jews being targeted. One has to be very careful there, the Jews and Christians. The Jews that are being targeted are the Torah Jews, not the Talmudic Jew. That's a whole different breed of cat. But the Torah Jews are being targeted. But anyhow, as far as their disdain for our troops is concerned, I think the Barbie Garwood case is a classic example of that. For instance, We are told that if we were caught and imprisoned, that it was our duty to do everything and anything necessary to escape. Bobby Garwood spent years working out a way by which he could escape.
Yeah.
And then they treated him like so much dog dirt on their shoes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead.
If you wonder what the United Nations and those people that own the United Nations think of you and me, look at what they did to Bobby Garwood.
Especially when he came back to say there were more.
Exactly. And that's my point. He did exactly what he was told to do, escape by any means possible. And when he did, he should have been brought back on a hero's welcome.
That's right.
And instead, they vilified him every way they could. No, their hatred for decent people knows no limits. And people have to understand just how deeply the Satanists hate decency.
William, do you have any comments with John?
Well, I agree with him in regards to the ongoing plan of legislation rolling out. I think it would be hard to include the founders of the United Nations starting back in the 30s as being the drafters of our present legislation, but this is one of those situations that will never go away until the cycle is broken, simply because nepotism and the patronage system is so prevalent in throughout all of the political body, especially of the nations that follow a parliamentary procedure type of a process. We just have in this particular state of Missouri, we have a member of the House of the Congress, Roy Blunt, who has now his son has served as a term as the Secretary of State, and now is the governor. We've got Jebby down there in Florida, and Pappy up in the compound, and G-Dub in the White House. When we think about legislation coming, we're talking about a series of family ties, familial and patriarchal communities, where the legislation is all part of the agenda, and it just passes from hand to hand like a torch in a marathon race.
Exactly. That's my point. When I say that same group of people, I mean the Satan Society of the world, which is headed by the Rothschilds. And I came to that conclusion when Queen Elizabeth and her son visited the Bank of England. They walked behind the president of the bank with their heads slightly bowed. I spoke to an Englishman about that, and I said, does that mean what I think it does? He said, yes, it does. It means that they are subservient to him. So we know that the head of the Bank of England, they're in the city, as they call it, is above them. Is there someone in the Satan Society above Mr. Rothschild? I don't know, but I don't think so. But anyhow, we're getting awfully close to the very peak of it, and you don't see much of them in public. But it does. It all goes back to we are in a spiritual war. The war is between those who hate God and hate his son and those who love the Lord and follow him. It's just that simple. It is a spiritual war, but it falls into the political. You cannot separate politics and Christianity.
I appreciate your thoughts, John.
They're side by side all the way. And until the Lord comes back, we're going to be in this battle. And we had better stay in the fight. Because those that won't fight, the Lord doesn't know. Catch you later.
Thank you, my friend. We've got to connect the dots to understanding the big picture in place. George Herbert Walker Bush stated, "We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. a world where the rule of law, not the rule of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders. And there you have it, people. George Herbert Walker Bush in 1991. Quite regurgitatory, William.
Yes, indeed, and it mirrors a Rockefeller quote along the same line that they've been working towards this, and they're now within for 500 years, and everything's in place. But you know, in that particular quote that you just read, you know, where he mentions the rule of law versus the rule of the jungle, remember that when we talk about the rule of the jungle and all men at war against man, we can tie that right straight into the political philosophy of Thomas Hobbes in his book, The Leviathan, where the state becomes the god, and the rise of statism that ensued. But again, the rule of law is a tongue-in-cheek to people like this. What they're talking about is the rule of the prince, where we have this all-out war between legal positivism, the Machiavellian system, and the natural law. And in the writings of Mikhail Gorbachev in the Green Cross Optimist and other writers in that, I have two different issues that I've received from them. They talk about the restoration of natural law and that international law and natural law are harmonious. So we need to understand in this concept of this all-out war that it is most definitely political philosophy. And they will play the cards any way they need to do that, and the one who pays the piper gets to call the tune, and the positivists are writing the lyrics. And when we visualize this hierarchy of economic captains of finance and industry, and understand that they run the land grant colleges and universities through their foundations, that the just like in the Vietnam era. There were demonstrations to get universities because the student body were well aware that the applied physics laboratories and the microbiology laboratories and whatnot, and even the political science libraries, were actively working on contracts from the foundations for the production of the warfare machinery, and the student bodies revolted against that. Now, in going back to the young man's call that was at Jeff from Massachusetts, always enjoy hearing from him. Will the Iraqi soldiers face the same pinkos? Well, those pinkos are part of this patronage system as well, so to speak. What we're talking about is the communists. Let's just call them for what they are. And the Communist Party has not gone away, as is evidenced around us. And there will be agitators who will be agitating in anti-war protests that will be striving to demoralize the troops, that's for sure. But remember that you've got three parts to this that we learned in the 60s and 70s. There's, first of all, there's the planned demonstrations by people like Jerry Rubin, who were tied directly into finances and the foundations. Then there's the anticipated, the tag-along, so to speak, pro and con. There were plenty of people that had attended the demonstrations who were anti-communist as well and were just as likely to turn on the Rubens of the group. There was the people that were the clean cuts that would go against the hippies in the crowds. And then the third is the spontaneous. And the spontaneous demonstrations would be from the mothers of and fathers and brothers and sisters of servicemen who are abroad. They're the ones that receive the letters. I remember the letters that I got just tore me up. I mean, I'd get these letters from my brother, and you could barely make out the pen writing on the paper because it was so spotted with either sweat or blood or tears. You could barely make the words out. But even that mail was censored. He would say, see the photographs enclosed, and the envelope would be sealed with tape, and there would be no photographs inside. But there's a lot of this action that goes on, and we need to put it all together. And rather than painting pictures and accusing falsely, let's tie it together with the names, and the families who are visiting this horror on the planet and seek redress of our grievances and stop this process in this generation and not pass this baton onto the younger ones.
Absolutely, and keep in mind George Walker Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, Prescott Bush, John Kerry, all members of the Skull and Bones, which is a secret organization, just like the Rosicrucians, the Knights Templars, etc., etc. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes, and that's the big problem. And let's move back to the phones. Let's take Larry. And how are you today, Larry?
There. It's good to talk to you, Chris. William, I always enjoy hearing you as well. William, do you think that we are that this would be like the last days that things are lining up for that, or do you think this is just a big hoax that they're trying to mimic what's written in the scriptures?
Well, if I was a prophet, then I would be able to give you, you know, a real clue. But as just a historian and a researcher, I see that this is a manipulated program. Unfortunately, if there hadn't been such a thing as the World Council of Churches, if there hadn't been such a thing as the Reformation of Religion, where religion was splintered off into a thousand different sects, if there hadn't been so much work done by various writers to penetrate into and pierce into the religious veils, whether you talk about Islam or Judaism or Christianity, then I would say, well, there's certainly signs that you can read in Revelation. But in my opinion, those signs are well known to the power brokers. And if they can play people like a violin, they'll use every trick that they can. So I think we have to be doubly on our guard to make sure that we're not deceived and that we employ every tool that is available to us. I spoke once about the five steps of inductive breathing. That's one tool you can use. But there's even beyond that, there's also just your own personal discernment. And as you get away from the television set and wean yourself off of videos and VCRs and all of that, and you get the hubbub out of your ears and quit reading their trash magazines and start looking for truth wherever you can find it, then your powers of discernment will start to really pop up. And when that happens, and you'll be able to see a lot of these things. And at this time, I would have to say that most of what we see is manipulation, and it's being done by masters of it.
Yeah. William, I think that's very perceptive. I mean, that's something that I have noticed. The more someone watches television or has their head stuck in the mainstream news media, the more they're not open to this message.
Larry, I appreciate your comments, my friend.
Thank you.
We're running out of time. I'm sorry to cut you off, my friend.
No problem. Okay, thank you.
Well stated. Good question. Let's go to John in Florida. We've got to take them all. John, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Thanks for getting me on. Hi, William.
Yes.
Chris, I watch the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer on PBS. It often comes to my attention that there are other programs to watch, one of which is on Tuesday night called Independent Lenses. These are productions by independent filmmakers. And last night they paid tribute to a former member of the UN, Sergio de Mello, who was killed in Iraq about 2 years ago in a bombing incident. And again, it was just a gigantic love fest over like the purpose of the UN and non-governmental organizations. It interviewed a lot of people who worked under him and how great a guy he was, etc. Not to disparage the dead, but you know, I couldn't help but come away having learned one thing about him. He was the son of a diplomat, a Brazilian diplomat, who was a communist, and a junta took over in Brazil, and he lost his position as a diplomat. And I correlated this with other known facts about the heads of the UN. Kofi Annan is the son of a tribal chieftain of an African nation. You know, they've all been big wigs, okay? Boutros-Ghali, Egyptian, another son of a big wig. You can go all the way back to Patrice Lumumba. You know, the UN is the target. We have to destroy it.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you, John. I appreciate your call. John in Tennessee. John, welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, thank you, Chris. William, you said so much that I agree with. Basically, when you're talking about discernment, you know, For those that follow Christ, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give you discernment. I agree with you that we have to be very skeptical that there's a possibility that they're playing a game, so like they've been doing for years. When you were talking about the chairman or the head of the Bank of England with their head down, you know, the Bible also tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, that sounds pretty simple. And the book, the Holy Bible, is full of answers that people will only look. It'll have an answer for any condition, any situation that we may have seen in the past, or that we'll see in the future. It's full of the answers. You just got to look at it. And when you're talking about different things going on in government, you know, I saw 9/11 when that happened. That, to me, was the beginning of the greatest period of spiritual warfare that I've seen in my life. That was like going into a new era in my life as far as
Thanks
Christianity.
Thank you for your call, John. I appreciate it. We'll be back to wrap it up with William. Stay with us.